Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Women have beaten the odds to elect our own to office. That's right. Women of color, transgender women, rural and urban women. And these victories were led and made possible by women of color. So white women, listen up. We've got to do better. We've got to do better. It is not up to women of color to save this country from itself. That's on all of us. That's on all of us. The good news is, when we are in full-on sisterhood, women are the most powerful political force in America.
That's Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, speaking at a recent Women's March rally. Rallying the troops, so to speak. It is being reported that she will not be president of Planned Parenthood for very much longer. There are vague reports that she plans to step down. Usually it's connected to amidst a federal investigation of Planned Parenthood. If she is stepping down, what has been her legacy as president of Planned Parenthood? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live on this Thursday afternoon, July the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about Cecile Richards' legacy with Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, here in the first few minutes of the program. Nicole King will join us to talk about Rachel Denhollander's victim impact statement about former Olympic gymnast Dr. Larry Nassar. She had a lot to say in there about the abuse, the crimes that went on for a long time, and the victims measuring in, well, the hundreds. The sentence was handed down, but she had something to say in the courtroom. We'll talk about it with Nicole King. And then Dr. Andrew Lewis will join us. He's written an op-ed piece in the New York Times titled "How the Pro-Life Movement Has Promoted Liberal Values." He's talking there about First Amendment values. Joining us to discuss Cecile Richards' legacy, Marjorie Dannenfelser. She's a regular guest, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, a pro-life group that seeks to advance pro-life women in politics. Marjorie, welcome back.
Todd, thank you. It's great to be with you again.
So do you expect anything to change if Cecile Richards steps down and someone else takes her place?
Well, the more Planned Parenthood changes, the more it stays the same. And you can really just take a look at the numbers to tell you that. So total services by Planned Parenthood are down 13%. Prenatal care has dropped by more than 60% in the last 5 years. And you know what's remained stable? Abortion services, basically the same. Every single other thing, pap smears, every single kind of gynecological thing, all that has gone down. And what remains the same is that they are the abortion giant of the country. And it is legal. I mean, sadly, it is. Nobody's saying it's not. But do they really deserve us to be paying? Do they really deserve the taxpayer funding to the extent that we're paying almost 50% of their budget? I mean, the thing is kind of falling apart at the seams. The center is not holding there. I really feel bad in a Christian way, but not in a sort of a strategic way, for the next person who is going to take up the reins there. She will be inheriting a scandal-laden, failing business that really only exists on the taxpayer dime.
You yourself used to be vehemently pro-choice like Cecile Richards. Why did you change, Marjorie?
I love that question. People like you, people like who are listening to this show, who did not judge me, they disagreed with me, really took the argument to me. I was really, I was a Duke College Republican chairman, and it kind of set me up. there are good people. And then I became a philosophy major. That kind of set me up, too. And then my faith started to become important. That set me up, too. I didn't see it coming. But it's really hard, if you have any brains at all, to keep saying, my body, my choice, and never actually look at the fundamentals of the argument. If it's two people, it's not about my body, my choice. if it's two people, then you got two humans in a tough spot that need to be loved and cared for. And I'm really grateful. People like you and people listening now were good to me. And you just never know, Todd, when the thing you say is going to plant a seed. And that's usually what it is. It's a seed. It's not always the whole thing in one argument or one day. Really grateful.
So do we know why, or could you do some kind of careful speculation as to why mm-hmm. Cecile Richards might be exiting now?
Well, it is a sinking ship. I mean, just think about it. If you were following Planned Parenthood even just 5 years ago, it was a Teflon organization. I mean, no one would talk about defunding them, including, you know, top Republicans. I mean, Mike Pence was really talking about it before it was cool when he was back in the House of Representatives. And then it started to, you know, with all that, then with the, you know, the video cameras taping about the selling of baby body parts, and let's be specific, like lungs, eyeballs, hearts, brains, giving each one a specific price. You know, when that was filmed, everybody finally started to believe what was true and what they didn't want to believe, is that this is a really callous, inhumane, abortion-centered business. They cannot exist without abortion. It's well over a third of their budget, and they're committed to it. So, you know, we didn't think that we would be here, but we were. We all of us have worked very hard to get to this moment, and I'm not surprised that in this sinking ship that she would like to bail. She's also, you know, look, she's in her 12 years. In that space of time, that is the space of time where they've started to sink. And I think she was probably the slickest, best person for that job. She probably deserved 3 times the salary that she did get. Because honestly, who could make it stay afloat that long a period of time? But I do, again, you know, I'm sure there'll be a young woman coming up that is going to take that job. And I predict that it will be short-lived.
They have also closed an awful lot of clinics in the time that Cecile Richards has been steering the ship. And it seems like with every passing month, they're closing more. What's going on there?
That's right. Well, yeah. I mean, demand for services is dramatically down, 20% down over the last 5 years. And what, you know, one reality that people are more aware of now, and but people are just living day to day in a specific place in a specific town, definitely know. But community health centers and places that are not abortion centers outnumber Planned Parenthood by 20 to 1 as an average all across the country. So there are more accessible and more comprehensive health care right around the corner. So they've been closing all over, and they're blaming it on the pro-life movement when it really is bearing the fruits of their own misdeeds. As those close, they kind of build big abortion barns so that it's even less accessible. You know, unless you're really devoted to abortion and or you want one yourself, you're probably going to go to something that's closer and more comprehensive in your own town. And honestly, you remember, I mean, Planned Parenthood sounds kind of, those words sound kind of neat. I mean, who wouldn't want you to help plan your family? That sounds fantastic. But only 2.3% of pregnant women come out with a baby. All the rest of them come out with an abortion. And that hasn't been known, but now it is known. And it makes a big difference.
It has been recently pointed out that there's kind of a cycle of money between the federal government that you had mentioned there a moment ago and Planned Parenthood, that Planned Parenthood receives almost $500 million from the federal government. They say it's not for abortion, but of course it goes for, you know, everything that they do. But then they also turn around and they fund, in many cases, Democratic politicians who are... in favor of their interests, kind of like funding the politicians from the federal funding. There, it's a circle of money. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's totally corrupt. I mean, how this has been put up with for so many years is just some got to be some study from a man from Mars. I mean, it is crazy. So we give them $500 million a year. It's almost a half of their budget, and then they have every entity that you need to have to lobby, to do the non-abortion work they do, to do the abortion work. So, of course, when you free one area up, you don't have to pay for the... You've already funded one area. You're free to go ahead and make sure that you only have to fund one narrow area. So today, we pay them to lobby our politicians to give more money to them provide more abortions so that we can go and lobby and make sure that they continue to get more money. It's just this vicious, corrupt cycle. Sounds like Chicago on a grand scale in so many ways, that we just need to get our money out of there. And we'll see what they can do to survive then. I mean, I don't think they will. It won't mean that abortion is over. It just means that we are not culpable in the death of children every single day of the year because we're helping fund it.
So they also claim, along, as you said, as you just said, that government funds aren't used for abortion. They also claim that abortion is a minor part of their work. And Cecile Richards has probably been the biggest champion of that claim. How do you respond to it?
I mean, really is that if you are pregnant, if you are among the 2.3%, you'll walk back out with a baby. But the rest, the 90, whatever, I'm a philosophy major, not a math major. The rest walk out bloodied, gutted, without a child, not understanding the misery that they're going to go through, and without support. Got your abortion? Hey, don't feel guilty. It's no big deal. It's like a tonsillectomy. You need some support and help. Well, I don't, you know, why would you need support and help? This is no big deal. So they're really, you know, it is not a small percentage of what they do. They cannot survive without abortion. It is an abortion-centered business model. And when you extract that piece, they collapse. But we've always said, and so has President Trump, stop doing abortions and we got no quarrel with you. You know, just stop that. But they won't. They won't because they can't financially and ideologically.
I remember when the Dilaiden videos were circulating and when they were in damage control mode, Cecile Richards was in the media almost on a daily basis. And one of the claims that she was making was that Planned Parenthood performed mammograms and all these other kind of health services for women that women couldn't get elsewhere. Is she still claiming the mammogram claim?
You know, she got caught in a committee hearing once. What used to work for them is that they would say it, they would claim it, realize that no one was going to fact check, and they got away with it, and they had the effect that they cared about, and then they just moved on. That the thing that has changed is that they don't claim that. I mean, what they say is this is all about, it's gone from very specific things like that, and then they've been caught in their lies. And so now they generally say, you're against women's health. You're against women's health if you're against funding Planned Parenthood. They try not to bring up any specifics because they realize that the pro-life movement and just basic human beings now who are far more savvy than they used to be, and we're far more effective at getting the word out about what they're doing. And I think this is a fantastic moment. If I were she, I'd be getting out too. I just hope she doesn't run for public office.
I'm wondering about the federal investigation. What do we know about it with about a minute here?
Yeah, you know, we can't know much because it is an investigation. We're just sure that it's happening and glad that it's happening, and we're looking for the next, we're looking for what comes up next after that.
What can you tell us about this upcoming vote in the U.S. Senate on the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act?
Oh, it's fantastic. There are Democrats and Collins and Murkowski, you know, liberal Republicans scrambling to try to figure out, darn, you know, it's getting harder and harder to vote against this thing. We unfortunately have to have 60 votes because to combat a filibuster, we have a whole new world since the last time we voted on this bill. Trump made it a big deal. The House and Senate have made it a big deal. It's been a big deal in Senate elections. So it's really great to see they're trying to figure out how to do it. For the folks who don't vote the right way and don't align with their constituents, they should be worried about their own Senate seats on election day.
But it is a narrow window of opportunity for something like that, isn't it?
Indeed. Indeed. It is narrow. You know, the conversations that I had today were actually with senators are revealing that they feel the heat. They know that it's a different moment. This vote is going to be on Monday. So time to send up a lot of prayers and make a few calls.
What can our listeners do to encourage their representatives, their senators in this case, to do the right thing and to vote for the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act?
There is nothing more important than the personal phone call. And it doesn't matter if you get a staffer, you say exactly what you think, that if they can't vote for this modest bill that is consensus, that everyone's for, if you can't vote for this, they don't deserve to be in the U.S. Senate. That's the phone call they need to get, no matter where you're from. Claire McCaskill needs to hear it times 10 billion.
We've talked about a lot of things here. We've talked about real prospect, perhaps, of defunding Planned Parenthood, a federal investigation into their illegal trafficking of baby body parts, the closing of their clinics, their kind of exposure in the public eye for being, as you say, an abortion-centered business. And now Cecile Richards appears to be ready to leave what you've called here the sinking ship. Are we winning the abortion battle?
Yes. You know, thanks be to God and a lot of work and winning elections, good strategy, taking this door to door, not just hoping that people figure it out. We are winning, and that is a change. The distance from 2012 and now is vast. We have millennials, we have African Americans, we have all demographics on some of these contentious issues. And you know what? Thanks be to God for sonograms and great leadership, because we're winning.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is president of the Susan B. Anthony List pro-life group that seeks the advance of pro-life women in politics. You can learn more about the Susan B. Anthony List at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Marjorie, thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Oh, same back to you. I look forward to next time.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Nicole King, managing editor of The Natural Family. We're going to talk about Rachel Denhollander's victim impact statement. You've probably read part of it or seen part of it. She's all over the news. It was in the trial and the sentencing phase of former Olympic gymnast Dr. Barry Nassar. He was sentenced, I believe, to 170-some-odd years in prison. And his victims got a chance to speak before he was sentenced by the judge. And what Rachel Denhollander had to say was remarkable, not only for its clarity and its anguish, but also she actually said something of law and gospel to him. Nicole King will join us after this to talk about that. Then Dr. Andrew Lewis will join us to talk about liberal values and the pro-life movement. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.